I want you to turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. As much as preach to you tonight, I want to talk with you. And these verses we're going to use tonight tie in a little bit with revival. I think you can take these verses we're going to go over tonight and apply it to revival. I would be thrilled if we'd have revival break out in our church. I believe that every person, any person, can have revival in your heart if you are willing to follow the pattern that God has laid out. You can have revival. You can have it tonight. But corporate revival or revival within a church takes many people doing the same thing at the same time. And the Spirit of God can come down on this place, and we could see things in this church that would spread to the community that literally could shake Toledo. And if we shake Toledo, if the Holy Spirit shakes this church to the point that masses of people, I mean, when real revivals break out, bars start to close. You understand? When you have revival break out, you start seeing people very humbly begin to confess their sin and give praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see lives dramatically changed. I'm talking about Christian lives. So when that happens in a church, if it would happen in our church, that could impact all of Northwest Ohio. And then usually what happens when you have real revival, then other people, when they start seeing Christian people get their hearts right with Christ, then other people start getting saved. Now, we'll never see multitudes, or probably won't see multitudes of people really get saved unless there is a revival spirit here in our area. If we want to see Toledo changed, then we need revival in our church. In James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Not many of us like to go to a doctor, but we do, don't we? If it gets bad enough, we go to the doctor. But the doctor really cannot help us unless we are willing to submit to him. I used to just do anything the doctor said, but now I've reached an age when I go to the doctor. I try to go with a humble spirit, but I go to the doctor. He gives his evaluation, and then he tells me which tests he wants to do. And then I usually ask, very honestly, I usually ask him, does this hurt? Or are you going to be invasive? And when he answers a question, sometimes I tell him, I don't think I want to do that one. I don't want to do that. The last time I had one of those things where they go down your throat and they stretch out your esophagus or whatever they're stretching out there. Right before he did it, he said, now turn over on your side. And I turned over on my side, and I looked up at him, and I said, come here a minute. I said, the last guy that did this did not get me all the way out. I said, I do not want you to do this with me awake. And I got him real close, and I said, do you understand that? He said to the nurse, give him some more. Few minutes later, I woke up, didn't know anything had happened. I was fine, and it didn't hurt at all. So, but you know what? If you don't submit to the doctor, then he really can't help you. This verse 7 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Now, the devil wants us to depend on ourselves. The devil inflates our ego When God wants us to be humble, Satan wants us to be proud. Turn in your Bibles, hold your place there, and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, here's an example why God does not place young believers in places of authority or in places of leadership. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, talking about the qualifications for a pastor, he says, "Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil." The danger of a young believer being in a leadership position is he gets puffed up with what is taking place. And Satan wants us to think that we're pretty intelligent. We have a lot of ability. We can figure this out ourselves. But God says the opposite. Turn to Romans chapter 7. The Apostle Paul says in verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." This is the Apostle Paul says, that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. How do you interpret that? That means in the flesh. It doesn't mean in the spirit, but in the flesh dwells no good thing. Nothing good dwells in us. In Isaiah 64, it says our good works in God's eyes are as filthy rags. Spiritually, if you're going to go somewhere spiritually, if you're going to grow in Christ, if you're going to have revival, if you're going to have fellowship with God, if you're going to win your spiritual battles, you must recognize this fact that nothing good dwells in your flesh. You are a sinner. You have failed. You're going to fail in the flesh. And you've sinned against a holy God. There is nothing good that dwells in your flesh. The word submit, submit yourselves. The word submit is a military word that means get into the proper rank. Get into the proper rank. If you are a PFC, private first class, and you're acting like a general, you're going to have some trouble. So the idea is that God is looking from you. God is looking for unconditional surrender. God, I totally, unconditionally surrender to you in every area of my life. Every area of my life where nothing is held back. Now, if you're going to hold an area of your life back, picture your life, your spiritual life as a house. You give God the living room. You give God your kitchen. You give God your family room. But if you have another room over here, a dining room, whatever, and you will not submit that to Jesus Christ, then you're still going to have battles. You're always going to have spiritual battles until you surrender everything unconditionally to Jesus Christ. Submission is an act of the will. Now, you know what? If you want to, you can do that tonight. You can surrender yourself to Christ. God, I give you every room of my house. I give you every area of my life. I surrender. It's your decision, you see. It's your decision. It is an act of your will. Look at verse 8. "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." The devil will not get to you unless you are too far from God. Get too far from God, the devil can get to you. Safest place, if you are a sheep in a herd of sheep, a flock of sheep, where's the safest place for you to be standing? Well, the safest place is directly beside the shepherd. Amen? The safest place, the most dangerous place, is the farther you get away from the shepherd, the more danger you are in. The wolf or the lion or whatever is going to attack the sheep that gets off by itself. So the closer you are to the shepherd, the safer you are. The devil does not want to fellowship. He doesn't want the company with God. He doesn't want to be with God. So the closer you are to the shepherd, the closer you are to Jesus Christ, the more safe you are from the attack of Satan.